Why did you shortchange him $850 in November?
Didn't feel like we owed it to him.
Tenants put a freeze on their rent.
What about in January?
Didn't know it to him, Your Honor.
So you became squatters.
Then came the heated eviction.
Do you know what happened after you moved all your main furniture out of the house?
Yes, there was a fire there.
There was a fire there, and the house was 90% destroyed. I'm not a big believer in coincidences.
Judge Judy.
You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. This is Judge Judy.
Michelle Engel is suing her former landlord, Michael Hixon, for destroying her above-ground pool.
Order. All rise. Now, it's case number 508 on the calendar, the matter of Engel versus Hixon.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Sir, have a seat.
Ms. Engel, you rented a house from the defendant for quite some time, and I have a sense that it's sort of a rural house. And it is your claim that the defendant purposefully destroyed a 24-foot above-the-ground pool that you had put into the house while you were there. You want to be compensated to the tune of $5,000. Defendant has a counterclaim for damages to the house. So I have a few questions for you, okay? In what month and year did you move into the house?
I believe it was October of 2013, Your Honor.
Did you have a written lease?
Yes.
When was that lease renewed?
I believe it was about a year later, in October, November of 2014.
And what was the rent?
At that point, it was a lease purchase of $1,850 a month.
So you were planning on purchasing the house?
Yes.
And were paying $1,850 in rent? If the sale went through, that would be applied to the purchase price? Is that what?
$250 of that per month.
Would be applied
to the purchase
price.
Yes.
And you moved out when?
We started moving.
I don't care when you started. When did you move out of the defendant's house?
January of 2018.
Beginning, middle, or end of January?
Toward the end.
And in 2017, what was your rent?
$1,850 per month.
Did you pay rent to the defendant in December of 2017?
No.
Did you pay rent of $1,850 in November of 2017?
I believe so, yes.
You'll have to have proof. That's why you're here. Did you pay rent in November of 2017?
Yes.
How much?
I don't remember.
Well, if you don't know, who is this?
My husband.
Great. Do you...
Sorry.
Mr. Engel, did you pay rent in November?
Yes, $1,000, Your Honor.
So you were deficient $850 in November?
Yes.
What about October?
Paid the full rent.
And September?
Full rent.
So in November, you were $850 short. In December, you paid no rent. You moved out the end of January. Did you pay any rent for January?
No, ma'am.
You want to give me...
Reason?
A reason.
Sure. The reason is, Your Honor, is we were actually purchasing the home also, and during that purchase price agreement, we were to do any upgrades ourselves, like new air conditioning units, new hot water tanks, having a septic tank pumped, dishwashers.
Remember, I have a complaint that was written by your wife.
Yes.
Which just says you decided not to purchase the house.
Because we couldn't get the defendant to do the things necessary to the house to pass approval to get a loan on the home. It had some problems with the roof damage from a hailstorm and siding damage, and the defendants told me that his insurance deductible was too high and wouldn't be able to get those things done, so therefore it wouldn't pass inspections for...
So why didn't you pay him rent in December?
Because we had made the decision to move out, and we had already told us he wasn't giving us any of our money back, so we went to court on this matter already on that particular...
Just a second. Why did you shortchange him $850 in November?
Didn't feel like we owed it to him.
And what about in January?
Didn't know it to him, Your Honor.
Well, that's the way you felt. Okay, fine. So you didn't pay any rent, so you became squatters in his house. Squatters. November, December, and January, you were squatters.
November was actually paid. I don't know where she got that from, but yeah. It was December and January.
No, you just told me, sir, that you only paid $1,000 in November. That's what you told me, not your wife.
Okay, well, the total was $2,800 total, so yes. That would have been December and January.
You lived in November, December, and January. That means you owe him three times $1,850. You decided not to purchase the house. Now, on what date did you move out of the house?
End of January.
Because you were evicted for
yes.
non-payment of rent.
Yes.
That's what happened. Do you know what happened to the defendant's house the day after you moved all your main furniture out of the house?
Yes, there was a fire there.
There was a fire there. Mm-hmm. And the house was 90% destroyed.
Yes, with our belongings in there.
Hmm?
With our belongings in the home still.
No, you had moved out most of your large belongings. Sir.
Some of them, yes.
You had moved out most of your large belongings into your new residence.
We still had things
what
in
do
the
I
home.
Have? Do you think I have a crystal ball? I do.
No, we still have things
it
in
calls,
the home.
It's called life lesson skills.
Yes, we still lost our computers, our laptops, and our clothes, and all kinds of things. Yeah.
All kinds of things. The first thing you move is a computer. If you think that I believe that you had all your computers there.
We did. We did. We did.
Where did you move to?
Just pretty much down the street.
You rented another house.
Mm-hmm.
And you had first, last, and security to put in on that other house that you rented.
Yes.
Yes, because you didn't pay him rent.
No.
Because you didn't pay him rent.
I'm self-employed.
Now what you want is $5,000 because he removed your 24-foot pool the day of the fire. Or the day after he was notified of the fire, he went to the house, he looked at his house, which is mostly destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
You have a fire marshal's report?
I do.
I'd like to take a look at it.
I had it too.
We have it too.
Great. I'll take a look at both. Maybe they're different.
Mine's not on here. I didn't print it out because I didn't think I needed it. We're here for the pool, not that.
And here it is. It's not very detailed, Your Honor. It's more about how they fought the fire.
I don't see a cause. It says 400 series determined this to be an undetermined cause. See the report.
I didn't get all of that from the fire department. I don't know if they just sent me a part of it via email or not. The insurance investigation.
Do you have the insurance investigation?
They would not release
just
that.
Just to say, the answer is they.
No, ma'am.
You don't. Okay, fine. The fire was on the 30th. Of January.
Yes.
Now, your wife said you moved out towards the end of January. On
yes.
What date? On what date did you move out? Don't say a word to her. On what date did you move out?
We started moving stuff.
I didn't ask you. On what date did you move out?
About the 23rd.
On what date did you start bringing your property to the new place down the road?
23rd.
When did you start to pay rent on the new place down the road?
I don't know. I don't take care of the rent stuff. He does all that.
February 1st.
Probably February 1st, because we were in between.
Your case is dismissed. You were squatters. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm not a big believer in coincidences. Do you understand? Look at my face.
Yes.
I'm not a big believer in coincidences. I'm not a big believer in the fact that you were directed by a court to vacate the home no later than the 30th of January or the 1st of February. 30th of January or the 1st of February. What date?
Right there, it's on there.
The date was February 2nd.
February 2nd. So you were ordered to vacate the house on February 2nd.
Yes.
You actually, according to your wife, moved your property into the new place. Sir, that's why I said don't answer. You see, she's not as slick as you are. I also don't think she set the fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
In any event, you were squatters for 3 months. You don't get $5,000 for that. So your case is dismissed. Now, you have a cross complaint, and your cross complaint is for damages.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think you're going to be able, based upon what you tell me, to prove any damages that they did to the property because you don't have sufficient reports.
I have some evidence, yes, ma'am.
Well, you tell me what it is.
Okay.
Other than serendipity.
Yes, ma'am. I went out the day after the fire with the insurance adjuster to look at the damages. I walked in the backyard and saw the pool in question, but also a lot of.
I don't care about the pool. I've just dismissed their case.
Yes, ma'am. So
if you took down the pool, if you took it down with a derrick, I don't care.
Okay.
If you sliced and diced it and made it into an arugula salad, I wouldn't care.
Okay.
Do you understand? They were squatters.
Yes, ma'am. There was surfacing sewage in the backyard that I discovered that I was not privy to this happening.
They said what?
Surfacing sewage. Their septic system was failed. They don't have city sewer out there. They had neglected their sewer system, and they had actually put said pool that you don't care about on top of part of it, so it was failing. I had a septic tank pumper come out, pump the tank, and he said, I remember this property.
Listen to me. I don't want you to tell me what anybody said to you. That's hearsay.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you understand?
I have a bill from 2016 where they had the tank pumped.
I don't care. Next.
They were informed that the septic system failed.
Don't tell me what they were informed. That's all hearsay.
Okay. In the lease agreement that they were under in 2016, they were required to do all maintenance and repairs to the facility, to the house. The septic system has been failing for a long time, as you referred to. They pumped the septic system. It was not repaired. It was failing.
Next.
I am seeking damages for the repair of that system.
Okay, very good. Your case is dismissed as well. Did you take down his pool?
I did.
I wish you had reports from the fire department and the results of the investigation by the insurance company. That would have been interesting reading for me.
Yes, ma'am.
We're done.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
It's really disappointing.
She was absolutely correct. They were squatting on the property, and I had to have them evicted.
A little bit behind, but most of it was paid.
They stopped paying rent, so it was time for them to move on.
He destroyed the pool.
It had to go.
I do have a police report for vandalism, yes.
I'm not worried.
It wasn't worth what he was asking for.
A discarded cigarette butt probably started the fire.
We're just done.
It's a total loss. I'm going to have to rebuild.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Violi versus Violi. Step forward.
Peter Violi is suing his nephew, Ryan Violi, for damage to a car, damage to a room, and unpaid rent.
Mr. Violi, this is your brother's son.
That is correct.
How old are you?
26, ma'am.
Had an argument with your father?
I've had plenty of arguments with him.
You had a sufficient enough argument with him so that you were no longer living with your family.
It became too complicated to be in the same roof with, under the same roof with him.
Fine.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
His son had been asked to leave his mom's house. He moved in with me in the same room.
How many years had he lived with his mother?
Ever since he was born.
So he must have been a real problem if his mother asked him to leave.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy.
Peter Violi says his nephew, Ryan Violi, took advantage of his kindness. He is suing for car damage, room damage, and rent.
Okay. You had a sufficient enough argument with him so that you were no longer living with your family.
It became too complicated to be in the same roof with him.
In what month and year did that happen?
I believe that was April of 2014.
And was it at that time that you went to live with your aunt and uncle?
It was a little bit after that. I actually moved into my grandmother's house for a brief moment while she was in passing. I was helping take care of her while
they were there. You were with your grandmother?
Yes.
And after she died, you went to?
They sold that house and they got their own, and he invited me to live there instead of getting my own place to help me out.
To help you?
Yes.
And was that still in 2014?
I believe so, yes.
And lived?
Sorry, I believe I moved in May of 2015.
Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And when did you move out of your aunt and uncle's house?
The night of December 1st, 2017.
So you lived with them for quite a while?
Yes, ma'am.
Were things always okay?
It started out good.
And your aunt and uncle helped you out. They, among other things, they got a car for you to use.
Yes.
Because you didn't have a vehicle.
Correct.
But it's their car, in their name.
In his name, as far as I know, yes.
But you used it to go to and from work.
Correct.
You had an accident with the car. When?
Can't remember the exact date. I had a lot going on at that time. I believe it was around, I don't even remember. I don't want to say the
July.
Wrong answer.
July 9, 2017, Your Honor.
What year car was it? Sir?
2013 Kia Rio LX.
So you had liability insurance?
And full coverage, everything, yes.
You had everything?
That's correct. There was a note on the car. I bought it from my dealership I worked at. The car's in my name, so I had to have full coverage insurance.
Okay, and what was the deductible?
$1,000.
So when he had an accident in the car, did you have it fixed? Because that's part of this claim.
No, not at that point.
Why?
Car has not been fixed because the $1,000 deductible where Ryan wasn't able to pay at that particular point, we didn't have the money. And number two, Ryan's insurance rates were already at about $250 a month on the vehicle, and he was concerned they were going to go up to another point where he wouldn't be able to afford those insurance rates.
But you could have had the car fixed, and it would have cost you $1,000.
At that particular point, yes. We would have had to find a way to come up with the money to fix it because he didn't have it.
So the car could have been fixed for $1,000. I'm just trying to figure out how much he owes you.
Absolutely. It could have been fixed then with the deductible. Yes,
yes,
ma'am.
Sir.
I actually work at a dealership as well. The auto repair shop owner that works on our cars through our dealership actually quoted us $250 to fix it.
Show me.
I don't have any quotes. I had told him about it at the time. He was fine with it until everything went to heck.
Whatever. It could have been fixed for $1,000.
Or $1,000.
You had an argument with your aunt and uncle?
Several, yes.
Where are you living now?
I rent a room on my own. with my brother.
How much do you pay in rent?
I pay about $550 a month.
Were you paying your aunt and uncle rent?
So it wasn't rent. It was supposed to be just helping out, contributing what I could. It started becoming more and more taxing, asking for more and more money. And that's where a lot of the arguments started stemming, because I wasn't supposed to pay rent. I was supposed to help out. I was supposed to move in so I could get on my feet and move out on my own.
Well, you were living there for 3 years.
As like I said, I was constantly helping out. At one point, he had asked me for $300. I paid him what I could. Then he said he started needing me to pay $500, so I tried to pay him more. Then at one point, he was having to pay $750, trying to have me pay that much. And then we got to the point where I told him I can't afford that.
Okay. So you were arguing about money.
Yeah, it's all been about money. And I was still paying him what I could even when I was living in the garage.
I'm actually not concerned about the rent.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
How are you prepared to demonstrate to me any damage that he did as opposed to your son doing?
All I can tell you is what the situation with the room is, what I know to be true.
No, you can't tell me what you know to be true. True is a question of fact.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Peter Violi says his nephew, Ryan Violi, took advantage of his kindness. He is suing for car damage, room damage, and rent.
Okay, so far the car is $1,000 to have it fixed. Now, your uncle said that you did some damage to the room that you were staying in.
I was actually staying with his son in that room, and his son had friends over constantly. A lot of the carpet damage was with them.
I just want you to tell me what damage, if any, did you do to the room?
None.
You want to tell
me? Actually, I take that back. I apologize. There was a little wooden shelf on the wall. It got weak. I knocked it off a couple of screws in a hole in a wall.
What else happened to the room while you were in the room sharing it with his son?
What happened, or what did I do?
No, what happened?
His son had been asked to leave his mom's house. He moved in with me in the same room.
Okay. So his son was living with his son's mother.
Correct.
Who was not your wife, correct?
We're divorced.
And your former wife asked your son to leave her residence.
Yes.
And move in with you.
Yes, late 2016, Your Honor. End of 2016.
And how old was he?
At that time, he was 19.
Was he the one sharing a room with your nephew?
My nephew lived in that room for about 7 to 8 months prior to my son moving in.
So the answer is yes, he was sharing the room with your nephew.
At the end of 2016, yes, Your Honor.
I got it. Is your son still living with you?
Yes, he is, Your Honor.
How many years had he lived with his mother?
Ever since he was born.
So he must have been a real problem. If his mother asked him to leave and you took him in. So how are you prepared to demonstrate to me, other than this shelf that came off and the screws in the wall leaving a hole, any damage that he did as opposed to your son doing?
All I can tell you is what the situation with the room is, what I know to be true, okay?
No, you can't tell me what you know to be true. True is a question of fact.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you in a family dispute? Go to judgejudy.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.
Now, I asked you a question of fact. How are you prepared to prove to me that any damage in the room was not inflicted to the room by the defendant as opposed to your son?
When I walked into the room one morning, late 2016, I looked at the carpet and it was covered with orange. It's light gray carpet, orange throw. There was a towel over it. It was orange throw up. I said, what happened in this room? He said, I threw up in the room. I said, why?
Who did?
Ryan.
Is that correct?
No, it was actually on the patio outside.
Okay. Do you have photographs of this, the holes left in the wall when he knocked the shelf off the wall? Because that he acknowledges.
No, I do not.
Okay. Then he gives you $1,000 to fix the car. Are we finished? Good. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $1,000. And that's your insurance that you should have put this through, which you would have had to pay out of pocket because you had full coverage. You still have the car?
Yes, I'm making the payments on it.
Thank you. We're done.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
When did you tell him that you had a title loan on the car?
Upon purchase.
Prove it to me.
All that paperwork from the title loan, I got rid of. He was harassing me so much, I was in the hospital.
Judge Judy.
It was quick and accurate.
My nephew went through 3 jobs in a year and a half that he lived with me.
Yeah, we just couldn't be civil.
Didn't pay rent for 5 months.
It changed once he got married, yeah.
When you live in somebody else's house, you have to have respect and consideration, and he didn't want to do that.
I lost family over, so I can't be really that happy.
How embarrassing is it to be standing in front of a judge suing a family member?
It's one day at a time.
He's burned the bridge with my brother. He doesn't talk to him anymore, and he won't be talking to me anymore. I must tell you, I think the setting is beautiful.
The price of an engagement ring rockets.
I gave her the option of better emeralds at much more cost, $1,200 to $1,600 a carat.
And all of a sudden it's going to cost her how much more money?
$6,000 more.
This jeweler's word wasn't as good as gold.
Twice as much as your original proposal, and you already have $3,200 of her money. That's a problem to me, sir.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. This is Judge Judy. Courtney Herlock is suing jeweler Stephen Arnold for the return of her deposit on an engagement ring.
Order. All rise.
It's case number 481 on the calendar in the matter of Herlock versus Arnold.
Thank you.
Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. You're welcome, Judge.
Ms. Herlock, you retained the defendant's services to create an engagement ring for you using a stone that was a family heirloom. How did you find him?
He was on the custom-made website. I posted a project online asking for some design.
Got it. You found him online?
Yes.
Did you ask for any recommendations before you retained his services?
Yes.
And did you follow through with those customers?
I didn't follow up with a customer specifically, okay. But so I looked at his work and the reviews.
Okay. You know anybody, his sister, his mother-in-law, his baby cousin, anybody can write a review. You do know that. Did you ask him for people who he had done work for?
No.
Okay. On what date did you send him the stones?
I drove it down to L.A. from San Francisco on September 4th.
There was nobody in San Francisco who could do this for you?
I liked his artistic rendering, so I wanted to work with him.
So before you drove the stones down,
yes.
He made a rendering of what the ring would look like?
Yes, we spent about 6 weeks talking.
I'd like to see the rendering that he did for you. Because ultimately, while you're taking that out, you want a refund of the money that you paid him because you didn't like the setting. Okay. This is what you sent to her as what she should expect from the stones that she was giving you with your design.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you had the main stone.
Correct.
The little diamonds and the emeralds you did not have.
Correct.
And who was supposed to obtain those?
He was. It's on the invoice on the previous page.
Oh, there's a lot here that's underlined. Do you know how old I am?
It's just the first page. Sorry.
Is that correct?
Initially, she said she was going to, Your Honor. Then I said I would.
So your agreement was that you would supply the stones?
Yes.
And the setting. And the price of that was $4,900?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And so?
And so?
Don't give me a whole story. If you can narrow it down to a Reader's Digest version, do you have the ring that he sent you?
Yes.
May I see it, please?
Sure. Now, the important thing to note, if I may, is that once he sent me the CAD of the ring, it was unfinished, and I expressed some concerns about the design, that it looked different
just
from the rendering.
Listen, the issue is not what you felt.
Okay.
The issue is what I'm going to look at between what his rendering was that he sent you.
Yes. However, he cast the ring before I approved the CAD.
Oh. Did you take the stone out of this ring? You did.
It's my grandmother's.
Was the stone in it?
Just my diamond, no emeralds.
No emeralds. What happened to the emeralds?
The emeralds, Your Honor, were the sticking point in this whole job. When I quoted the $4,900 quote, it was for emeralds that I priced at $450 per carat. And I also talked to another stone dealer, and I gave her the option of better emeralds at much more cost, $1,200 to $1,600 a carat. But as we went on, the budget just blew up past her initial $5,000 cap. And it was.
I would like to see the discussions that you had with her, because certainly this setting does not have emeralds in it. I must tell you, I think the setting is beautiful. I think the setting is beautiful, and I think the setting is totally consistent with the rendering that he gave you.
That ring would have cost over $12,000 to $15,000.
Just this setting, as I'm looking at it, with your diamond in here, and the not greatest quality emeralds, would have cost $12,000?
Or more.
How much was this ring, sir, with the cheaper quality emeralds?
Just within the budget of around $49,000 to $5,000.
So what brought it up another $5,000?
The custom cutting.
Step up.
It's not true.
I have the conversation here. I broke it down, and then I got a reply.
Just a second. Take a breath. Do you own a car?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is it a new car or an old car?
Fairly new, Your Honor.
Have you ever had an old car? I'm sure you've had
an old car.
And you bring your car in to be fixed, you take it to a mechanic, and the mechanic says, oh, I see what it is. It's going to cost you $800.
Yes, Your Honor.
To fix it. And then you get a call 2 days later, and he said, you know, when I was dealing with the Fijumi, the gewazit went out. I didn't know the gewazit was going to go out, but you need a new gewazit. And instead of costing you $800, it's going to cost you $2,300. But we've already taken out the gewazit. Do you understand?
Yes.
Now you got her deposit. How much?
It was $3,200, $2,400.
She gave you good faith money.
Mm. Yes, Your Honor.
She gave you $3,200 mm-hmm. on a $4,900 operation.
Yes, Your Honor.
And she gave you that on what date?
That would have been
7th of September.
9/7, 2017.
16.
2016. Oh, my God, are you married?
Yes.
Good. How long?
We got married on the 5th of September, 2017, and I'm pregnant.
Hmm?
I'm pregnant now as well.
I was going to say congratulations, but I've done that before and it hasn't been the case,
yeah.
So I figured I might as well keep my...
Fair enough.
Keep it to
myself. Err on the side of safety.
Yeah, of caution, right? Anyway, and on what date, sir, do you tell her it's going to be more money?
October 8th.
So you've had the whole project on her $3,200 for 4 weeks.
Yes, Your Honor.
And all of a sudden it's going to cost her how much more money?
He said $10,000. Okay. Sorry.
How much more money?
The initial rise in the cost was going to be, for the extra material, $6,000 more.
You got it? You got my analogy with the Gazumi?
Yes, Your Honor.
So you had her $3,000 and you already got her gewidget out, and now she has a problem with her Gazumi. And her Gazumi, if they want to be brilliant Gazumis, are going to cost her twice as much as your original proposal, and you already have $3,200 of her money. That's a problem to me, sir.
I gave her the option of the cheaper stones to fit
just
in her budget.
Just a second. You should have done that before you took her $3,000 and said, you know what? I can put in a grade A Gazumi, or I can put in a grade B Gazumi. Grade B Gazumi is going to cost you $4,900. Grade A Gazumi is going to cost you $10,000. I want you to know those numbers right up front, because you are a jeweler. You're not a plumber faking it being a jeweler, right?
Right.
Well, that's what you do. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
I do, Your Honor.
Did you send him any money other than the $3,200? And you never put the emeralds in this?
No, Your Honor.
So you never delivered what she ordered?
No, Your Honor.
Can I see your ring now? The ring that you had made? You did return to her some money.
Yes, Your Honor.
How much?
It was $444, Your Honor.
Well, this is a whole different thing that you had made.
I asked him to change the design at a certain point to make it more wearable and less expensive, and we just couldn't get there because he had already moved forward with casting it.
With this?
Yes.
This is actually beautifully crafted piece.
Yeah, and I don't think that.
The ring that you ultimately had made doesn't look anything like this. This is far more intricate.
Because I went to a jeweler who laid out the prices for me. We agreed on, you know, what
and
could be
how
done.
How much did you pay for it?
The ring setting itself without the putting the diamond in and everything was $2,400.
Not $10,000?
No.
And did you supply the emeralds or did the jeweler?
The jeweler and the diamond.
How much money did Mr. Arnold give you back?
He sent a check for, I think he said $400 and something, but I did not cash it and returned it.
Where's the check?
I never got it, Your Honor.
Did she ever cash it?
No, Your Honor.
And you sent her $400 because you never completed the job.
I sent her $444 after I minus my cost, making her that mounting. And then sending
this
it
is a platinum setting?
It's a platinum setting, Your Honor. Making her that mounting and sending it to her so she can source her own stones at a trade show.
Would you do me a favor and return this?
Sure.
Anything else you want to tell me?
Yes, that part of the problem with the ring was that the settings were so complicated that there were 38 stones that needed to be custom cut in order to fit into the actual ring. And every jeweler I took it to said they were so small, it would be so difficult and hard to get them in there that no one wanted to touch the ring to finish it.
Well, he wasn't going to finish it for you for less than $10,000.
But no other jeweler said they also confirmed that that couldn't be done. And he sent me an email in January saying the same thing, that it can't be done for this price. But at that point, he said, I also won't give you back your money. You have to pay for what I've done.
Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $3,200. She contracted for an item. You didn't deliver the item. Didn't deliver what she asked for. And you have to return her money. You can't substitute a good widget for a good Jumi after 4 weeks and expect somebody to double their budget when you've already promised to deliver for them. So, judgment for the plaintiff. We're done. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
This was done in 3 to 4 weeks, and unfortunately it took 7 months, and it definitely pushed things back a bit.
The 4 weeks that she was waiting for a ring, it was in CAD modeling, because that kind of complex ring takes time.
The issue I had was that he actually cast the ring in platinum before I approved the CAD design.
I offered her far cheaper going with sapphires.
So he had already moved forward with spending money of mine.
That would have fit within her budget, and she wanted what she wanted.
To make the ring, and I hadn't approved the design yet.
And then ultimately, she ended up settling on a ring anyway that she didn't initially want.
Now we can sort of close this door and look towards the future and our next chapter, next baby chapter in life.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Thibodeau versus Johnson. Step forward.
23-year-old Giovanni Thibodeau is suing her former friend, 23-year-old Mariah Johnson, for the return of money she paid for airline tickets and punitive damages for fraud.
Ms. Thibodeau, Ms. Johnson was somebody that you knew as a friend?
Correct.
And you wanted to purchase some airline tickets for you and who else?
Me, my mother, my grandmother.
And you were going where?
To Miami.
And somehow you heard Ms. Johnson had a connection for cheap tickets?
Yes.
You were going to Miami from where?
Dallas.
Did you price the tickets from Miami to Dallas?
I did.
Trip? And how much were they?
About $2,000 for two tickets. I was flying within a week of my travel date. Looking and within a week of my travel date.
Why?
It was like a last minute thing. I was getting ready to move to Miami to go to school.
How could it be a last minute thing if you were going to school? And what did you need your mother and your grandmother for?
I hadn't been accepted into the school.
What?
I hadn't been accepted into the school yet. So yes. I was just going. School started in 3 weeks, looking for housing and doing some job interviews.
Uh-huh. And what did you need your mother and your grandmother there for?
My mother just wanted to make sure that I was going to find some place that was...
And what did you need your grandmother for?
My mother wanted to bring her along. Right. I have family in Miami.
Terrific. So the tickets were going to cost $2,000 for everybody?
Just two of us.
And who was going to fly on the wing?
What do you mean?
Well, you said three of you were going, and you only priced tickets for two of you.
It was just me going initially until I got a hookup, and my mother said, oh, we'll go too.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
You want me to believe that they were in it together. You went to use these tickets, and you couldn't use the tickets because they were bogus. And I'm telling you, you have to show me that she was somehow in a conspiracy and stole your money.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Giovanni Thibodeau says former friend Mariah Johnson defrauded her regarding the sale of discount airline tickets.
So then you found out that Ms. Johnson knew somebody who could get the tickets cheaper.
Correct.
Tell me how that came about.
I was at her house talking about how I needed to get to Miami ASAP to look for housing. She's like, well, I got a friend that works for American Airlines. He can get you some cheap tickets.
Did you ask who?
Not initially.
Ever?
At the end, after I found out that it was a scam.
Who was the person who could get cheap tickets who worked for the airlines?
It was somebody I went to school with. Well, we both went to school with.
Did you tell her who it was?
Mm-hmm.
Name?
Ken.
Has he been arrested? Did you file a police complaint against him?
I did. They told me I wasn't criminal and I wasn't the victim in the case.
But which police department did you tell that you bought bogus tickets?
The DeSoto Police Department.
When did you go there and who did you speak to? Do you remember?
No.
And you told them that you had bought these tickets and they turned out to be bogus tickets?
Mm-hmm.
And you gave them the name of the person who you purchased it from?
Mm-hmm.
You gave the DeSoto Police Department Ken's name.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
How do you reach Ken?
I don't. He blocked us both. Because my mom bought tickets as well for $1,500.
That's a lie.
I have proof.
I'd like to see it.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, Miss Tribodeau, you gave Miss Johnson money to give to Ken.
Correct.
And she gave it to Ken because she gave you tickets.
She didn't give me anything. She sent me confirmation numbers.
He did. Well, then he wouldn't have sent you a confirmation number unless he had been paid. So, I mean, this wasn't a fictitious character that she made up, right?
No. I believe he's real.
Well, of course he's real. You both knew him from school.
I don't know him.
Never met him?
Never met him.
Okay. But after you gave her the money for the tickets, you got confirmation of the tickets from Ken.
Correct.
Which means whatever money you gave her, she gave to Ken, who then sent you bogus tickets.
I wasn't there when she gave him my money.
I don't
care. Who knows? I can't speculate that she gave him the cash. They were in on it together.
Neither can I. I can't speculate that they were in it together. You want me to believe that they were in it together. You went to use these tickets and you couldn't use the tickets because they were bogus. This person sent you tickets or sent you facsimile to tickets that you thought you could use to get on your flights, which you couldn't. You want me to make that leap between that and the fact that they were in a co-conspiracy so that I order her to give you back the money. And I'm telling you, you have to show me that she was somehow in a conspiracy and stole your money.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
She was acting as an intermediary, doing you a favor, getting the tickets from somebody who she says I trusted to get my tickets from my mother, too. And I got snooker, too.
She did the same thing to her parents. You think they got their money back?
There's something wrong with you.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Giovanni Thibodeau says, former friend, Mariah Johnson, defrauded her regarding the sale of discount airline tickets.
Now, you have to show me that she was somehow in a conspiracy and stole your money. She's going to tell me she gave the money to Ken, and she's going to tell me and show me that she got snookered the same way with him. So you show me, I'm open. Other than that, you don't get your money back from her.
You can see this whole thing.
I'm not looking through the whole thing.
You want me to highlight the important pieces?
I want you to highlight.
May I have a highlighter, please? Thank you.
Who wrote this? It's a scam.
I did.
Oh, you said to her it's a scam. They just took my ticket.
That was during when the security was trying to escort me out the airport.
Shit, I can't hear you, madam. I'm trying to read what you circled. None of this says that she's complicit in anything. She just sent it. I gotta go pick it up. It's funny how my money get my money back. Oh, get my money back or give it back to me. Actually, I can't understand anything that you wrote here. It is so not English that I can't understand anything, but nothing here suggests that she was aware that Ken was scamming on these airline tickets. I know that you made big circles on things that have a lot of four-letter words and nasty words in them, none of which make any sense to me in the context that they're written in here. But there is nothing here that suggests that she was aware of the scam.
If I have a friend that I trust with that much amount of money and it just disappeared, do you think they would try to help me get it back? Or do you want to fight about it because I want it back?
Are you asking me a question?
Mm-hmm.
You don't ask me questions. I ask you questions.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Are you the victim of a scam? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
What I'm telling you is the only one who can help you get your money back, if anybody, is the DeSoto Police Department. You came to the wrong place. You have to go to them and say, I insist upon filing a criminal complaint against this person for fraud.
They told me I cannot make a complaint for fraud unless I am the person whose credit card did he use to purchase my ticket, which I'm not.
Well, I don't know where they went to law school, but I'm telling you that you were defrauded out of money, but you have no proof it was by her. She was acting as an intermediary, doing you a favor, getting the tickets from somebody who she says I trusted to get my tickets from my mother, too.
and I got snooker too.
She did the same thing to her parents. You think they got their money back?
So we both lost.
There's something wrong with you. Your case is dismissed. We're done.
Right. We both lost.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
An accident settlement causes another calamity.
He forged those checks and the bank didn't allow him to cash it. That's why he sent them to me.
You're not even believing yourself.
Judge Judy.
I'm happy because I did not take her money.
Throw my money, point blank.
Like, we both took a loss. My mom took a $1,500 loss, and they took an $1,100 loss. So we both lost.
They said I had to sue her in court. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, my mom's is mad. My mom is mad, but it wasn't me. So, I wasn't the victim of that.
The police said they can't help me because I wasn't the victim in the case.
Yes, my mom is making me pay her back.
What friendship? She's dead.
We're not friends anymore.